Join me tonight in Hebrews 11. We're still going to talk about Abraham, but specific doctrine that I think is really critical. I just felt impressed that I couldn't leave this series without interjecting this. It's so important, and that's justification by faith alone. Justification is probably, of all the basic doctrines, the most important for someone to understand in order to get saved. If you don't understand justification, you may not be able to explain it, but if you don't understand it, it's crucial and essential for salvation. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to just pick out a few verses to start. We notice that the term by faith, verse 8, Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, does that sound like a saved man? If he lived by faith, I think it does sound like someone that's saved, because you cannot have faith until you're saved. You know, it's impossible to please without faith, but it's impossible to have faith, true faith, until you're a believer. Go down with me to verse 11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And can I suggest to you that faith began in the Ur of Chaldees in response to the call and message of God. And it tells us that from that time forward, they considered themselves strangers and pilgrims, but they left by faith. They've journeyed by faith. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And as we said this morning, what happened with on Mount Moriah is the same that happened with Jesus Christ when he was crucified. He became our payment for sin. So it was a picture or a type of what was to come. So these all did what they did by faith and accomplished these great things. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that we are saved, we are born again by grace through faith. It is faith alone that saves a man. Now, just in case someone here doesn't have this marked or noted in your Bible, we'll turn to Ephesians 2 and we'll read verses 8 through 10. Sometimes we just read verses 8 and 9, but I want to include verse 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The order is salvation. It's the new birth. It's regeneration. That happens instantaneously when a man is justified, when you're made right with God. And as it says, this work of faith continues as an act of God after salvation. We're his workmanship. It is all God's doing. It is not because we've done something. It's God does it in us. I have a friend that witnessed too many times and still is not saved. And part of the problem is he can't get this concept. He's afraid, and he said this specifically to me, said, Jim, I just don't think I can live the life. What he doesn't understand is no one can. It is not up to us. When a person is truly saved and born again, we are his workmanship. He does something in the heart of a believer. He helps us to grow in grace. He strengthens us. So it is a result of salvation. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I'll read the next verse that I wanted to turn to, Romans 5, 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This matter of justification, this means of truly being saved or born again, as we would call it, it is a result of the grace of God by our faith in his substitutionary death. It is not by any effort, any work that we could ever do. We are saved totally, completely by his grace and through faith. That's a good point, and we'll just get out the Gatorade here. All right, they got nothing on us. That's point one. That's point two, and that's point three. But I'm going to take them all out of one. I don't want to ruin two bottles of Gatorade. So we think about this term, justification. Sometimes people don't quite understand just what it means. The idea is looking at things from God's point of view, the judge. He looks down upon us, and it's when he declares us righteous. It's God's viewpoint toward a man. So the definition could be slightly different depending on where you read it or study it out, but it's pretty similar to what I'm giving you. It denotes the act of declaring one righteous. It's an acquittal, signifying the establishment of a person as just by acquittal from guilt. Now, the word acquittal we use in a legal terms, and Mr. Matney will correct me if I'm wrong here, but it is a judgment that a person is not guilty of a crime with which the person has been charged. The trial resulted in an acquittal. It means an absolution, exoneration, or a declaration of innocence. Did I get that right? Okay. So a person who is justified is seen from the judge, the mighty God, as declared righteous. Now, man cannot make himself righteous. We are not righteous. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But by the blood of Christ, we are cleansed, we are regenerated, we have a new life, and it is entirely based upon the application or propitiation of Christ into a person's life. That instant and moment, you're truly saved, you put your faith in him, you receive him as your Savior, you're born again, that instant, you're justified. It is by faith. Now, let's assume that there was a revival meeting going on, and during the revival meeting, the preacher is preaching about salvation, how you need to get saved, and someone is sitting there, they understand, they'd heard this message before, and they just struggled with it, and they've not been ready yet to make that decision. And so they understand the substitutionary death of Christ. They understand they're a sinner. They understand the need to be saved. The invitation is given, and they respond. They already understand that the truth, but they respond. They step out in the aisle. They come forward. Someone meets them at the front, and they say, why did you come? Well, I need to get saved. And that they sit down and talk to him, go through maybe some scripture verses and ask some questions. And they pray and they say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. Now, let me ask you a question. At what point did they literally get saved? If they already understood it, it was the moment they stepped out and said they're going to do it. Because it was their faith. Now, if they didn't understand it, it's when they came forward, someone explained it, once they got it, they are saved. The prayer confirms what happened by faith. The prayer does not save a person. Is that clear? Okay? It is the faith in the work of Christ. It's a an inner belief, a trust, yes, he died for my sin. And at that second, that exact moment, God justifies that man. He sees him no longer held accountable for all your sin. Think about that. Everything you've ever done, it's gone. It's under the blood. You know, as a young person, you know, the Bible says the sins of your youth, you know, there's a reason it says that, because young people do dumb things. You know, I can go through a list of things I did, and they weren't smart. They weren't good things. It's all gone. There's an acquittal. You're no longer held accountable for that. Even sins that were in the future, it's already, all that's taken care of. It's paid for by the blood of Christ. Once that blood is sprinkled on the soul of a man, you're justified, you're acquitted. No longer held accountable. So it is the same as the new birth, although it's a different aspect of it. The word salvation we use very often. But justification is not the same as sanctification, which has to do with holiness, has to do with growing in the Lord, being more holy. Justification is instantaneous. At that moment, you are completely justified. You can't be more saved than at that instant, in that moment. You are as saved as you can ever get then, at that moment. It's not the same as repentance, not the same as regeneration. Each have their own viewpoint, each are important, but justification has to do with God looking down upon each person. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's start reading verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, there's that word again, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, it's a payment, through faith, and his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. When he looks down upon a soul that is now justified, he sees only the blood atonement of Christ. He does not see your sin. That's a good point right there. So as we read those verses, we kind of understand the terminology. But then there is this so-called discrepancy that some people have. And they try to mix works with faith. And are certain religious acts that, oh, you have to follow them. You have faith, but you have to be baptized. Oh, you have faith, but you follow these sacraments. Oh, you have faith, but there are certain sacred rites. You have faith, but you have to give money. You have faith, but you've got to live the life. You've got to hold on. You can't sin anymore. There are those that mix together faith and works. I was reading an article, and you have to be discerning when you get stuff off the internet. I think you know that. And the article seemed to be good, and as I got down through there, and it said, of course, we all know we're justified by works. Now, right away, I knew he wasn't an independent fundamental Baptist, because we're not justified by our works. But he's using the scripture in the book of James to give the idea that we are justified by works, and we're going to talk about that. But first, let me say, the inclination of every man is that somehow we can make ourselves better. That what we do, we have to do of the flesh. That's the tendency of man. That's the tendency of the old nature. I'm going to get better. I'll resolve to do this. New Year's resolution. I'm going to start going to church. I'll start. And we think we can make ourselves righteous. And we feel like we need to, because we've done these things in the past for which we regret, and we're trying to correct that by doing good. But you're not justified by doing good. If from today on you never sinned again, which would be impossible, but if you never sinned again, what about the sins you already committed? What about things you've already done? Who's going to pay for that? How can you be reconciled to God if those sins are there and not dealt with. See, it is by his grace he washes them away. But if it was by our works, we come short. We know that we're not good enough. In the passage of Hebrews, it talks about the birth of Isaac, but then we know there was Ishmael. Ishmael was a work of the flesh in that he was one of the children of Abraham and brought about most of the Arab nation. And we have, that was man's idea. That was Abraham and Sarah's idea of how they would fulfill what God wanted to do. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan, no, I'm going to give you a child and you're going to have a multitude of people like the stars of the sky. You know, they couldn't see it, so they tried to do it on their own. That was a work of the flesh. God's plan is to regenerate a person who is lost and dead in their sins by the work of the Spirit. That is Isaac. That's the picture. By the grace of God, he was born. So James does not teach salvation through works. If he did, if that's what James is talking about, and let's go there, James chapter 2. Maybe I'll read some of that right now. James chapter 2, starting in verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. I gave one of the booklets we have, Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, to my dentist. And he read the book the next time I went in, 2 years later probably. But I went back in and said, yeah, I read the book, but he said, you know, I have the discrepancy because, you know, I don't think you're saved by faith alone. You have to have works. You've got it. Now, he was Roman Catholic, and that's the way most Roman Catholics would believe, and if they followed Roman Catholicism, that's what they're taught. You have to do certain things. It's your effort, your religious deeds. Others just, you've got to be going in that direction. So what about this discrepancy then between Romans, Galatians, and the book of James, and the other things that we discussed? Well, it creates several problems. If a person was saved by their works, let's even say they included faith plus works all combined together. They say they had faith, but you had to have works, absolutely necessary. If that were true, what works must we do? What does the Bible say we're supposed to do? What specific things? How could we have assurance of salvation? There's nothing in the Bible that says specifically what we have to do. How many things would we have to do? The Bible doesn't give any indication of that. That would seem God is kind of leaving us on a limb. We'd always be in doubt. Have I done enough? Did I do the right things? Did I miss something? Secondly, to what degree and what length of time would you have to do them? How long would you have to do them? What if you did them for a while and then you stopped? Does it mean you're saved as long as you do them, then you're not saved? I mean, there's no teaching in the Bible that gives any impression of that whatsoever. So if that were true, it would be a problem. You would know, to what degree do I do these things? Is there one thing and that's it? Or many things, and how long do I do them? What if I don't do them? And what if I don't do them and then I start doing them again? Do I lose my salvation, get it back again? There's no clarity whatsoever of anything like that in Scripture to give us help. It leads me to believe that that's not what it's talking about. If Abraham was justified by works, it refers to it, his justified by his works, when he offered Isaac. But that was much later in his life. He was over 100 years old when he did that. What about when he left the Ur of Chaldees? What about when he was a pilgrim and a stranger? Did he not have faith then? When would the faith be applied? Only at the time of Isaac was he an unsaved man, and then finally he was justified at that moment when he offered Isaac? See, we have a doctrinal problem, a theological problem, if that were the case, which it's not. So was he not saved when he left the Ur of Chaldees? You see, what James is discussing is the evidence of faith, not the justification from sin. He said, show me your faith. Well, real faith is seen. It's evident. You look through the life of Abraham from the time he left the Ur of Chaldees. You see his faith. You see the faith of Abel. We see the faith of Noah. And we'll see the faith of many others. Because real faith produces a result. There's an outward evidence of it. That's what James is talking about. He's not talking about being justified by any particular deed or anything that we might do. So man is justified before other men by what they see. But we're not justified before God. It's only by faith. So you see, what James says does not contradict all the rest of Scripture that says we are justified by faith. And it goes on to talk about how the righteousness of God is applied. That was not by works, it was by faith. Romans 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Hey, look at my works. Look at what I've done. You know, I left the Ur of Chaldees, and, you know, I didn't know where God wants to go, but I followed him. You know, and we were living in tents, and, you know, we just did what God told us to do. No, it wasn't you. That was God working in you. You couldn't brag about it. You're not justified by your works. It was by faith. For what saith the Scripture? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So the righteousness came as a result of faith or belief in him. And it goes on to tell us in verse 6, Romans 4, 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And by the way, the verse we read a little bit ago in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, really, how do you refute that? It's so clear. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's all right there. It's very clear. There is no right. There is no work. There is no deed, no good thing we can do to bring about justification. It is an act of God where he sees our faith and he justifies us. So it is a work of God. And then to think about the details of justification. What he wants is repentance rather than good works. He wants us to admit we're doing wrong. In the Gospel of Luke, we read an interesting story. And it's a Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you think about what that man did. I believe what it's saying is this was all true. There's no repudiation. No, you didn't do that. No, he did all those things. I think very few people would say they did all the works that that Pharisee did. But what does Jesus teach them? Verse 13, and the publican and this tax collector, who many of them had a bad reputation, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down into his house, there's a word again, justified. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So he's looking for repentance, humility, rather than our good deeds. We just come to a place and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I can't save myself. There's not one thing I can do. And I just cast myself at the feet of Jesus. Lord, forgive me. and beg mercy. That man is the one that's justified. Why? It is his faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. It is faith that brings about justification. And there are several verses in Galatians, but I'm just going to read one of them. Galatians 3:6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was his faith, his belief, and what God gave him as a message. Look forward to that city. Really look forward to a Savior. He had faith in the message of God. That was the thing that brought about righteousness. And then justification brings about forgiveness. When a person truly is saved, they don't walk around like a peacock fanning their feathers, look at me. They humble themselves and often weep. Oh, I can't believe that God would be merciful to me, a sinner. God has been so good. Turn with me back to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, talking about the Jews that perform the act of circumcision, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So he didn't follow that rite. It wasn't because he followed the guidelines of the Jewish nation. He did that toward the end of his life or much later in life. His faith is what is emphasized. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision and a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Any act, any idea of what we can do, any personal sacrifice that we can make, it really denies the fact of man's utter depravity. We cannot save ourselves even if we tried. Paul said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I was visiting with a man a number of years ago, and we went out and knocked on somebody's house door, and the man was saved. And I'd ask him his testimony, how he got saved. And then for whatever reason, he turned to my partner and asked him, what's your testimony? How did you get saved? And he kind of stumbled along and tried to give a testimony, but it was obvious he was uncomfortable and was not sure of himself when he gave the testimony. We came back and we parked over by what then was the school. This building wasn't even here. And he started talking about it. And you know the thing that brought this truth to him is we had a little Bible study on a matter of justification. And he just didn't get it. He didn't understand it. Well, that night, it brought that to his mind. I don't know if he got saved that night or right after that, but it was almost immediately after that, he finally got a hold of this thing. It's totally by faith. It's not because you're a good Baptist or Catholic or Muslim or Buddhist. It's not because you're worthy. It's not because you've done some miraculous thing. It's not because you've made a trek to Mecca or climbed some mountain. It's because the grace of God has been applied to your life through what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And then God, once that's applied, once your faith propitiates that payment, that instant and that moment, it is by faith that a man is justified. That's what true salvation is. That's what it means, the new birth or being born again. And I think that most people here, if not everybody, understands it. There may be some listening online. You don't get it. We do have, you know, a Bible study we could give you to help understand that more, but it's crucial to understand salvation. There may be some young people or children. You didn't get it. You didn't understand that. There's more than saying a prayer. God has to work in your heart to realize you're lost and that you need Christ as your Savior. You put your faith in Him and Him alone. Let's bow for prayer tonight.